intro play a little longer than normal.
I was feeling it.
Full Spectrum Cycling number 64, folks.
64, dude.
What is it, June 12th?
Yes, it is. Quick math. Thank you. Keep me on my toes.
JK.
Hi.
Tony. Sven here in the studio today. The revamped Locust Street traffic. Cruising by out front.
Indeed. There was a little more mass transit. It seemed they're funneling through. There were like three while I was locking up.
No.
And that doesn't seem normal. So, but nothing is normal anymore.
The 10 rider buses?
Yeah. Well, I guess that would do it.
That's what you get. So maybe you have to run more buses.
Oh, the damn logic.
Raining. Had a tropical storm up here. Huh?
Yes. I was all get decked out for it, too. And it didn't happen. It happened, but I wasn't on steed when it happened. Damn it.
Yesterday was not a much. Today, well, there was a much for a little bit.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Or it happened while I was sleeping last night. Possibly.
Yeah, I was porch sitting and the winds were working out to my favor. And yeah, it was very enjoyable.
Excellent.
Yes, it
was. It's been electric bike week here at the shop.
Yes, it has.
Beep, boop, boop, beep, beep, boop, boop.
I'm the operator of my
big old bullet. Bullet with a buffang mid-drive. Mr. Tony was able to get his up and running with a buffang 311 front hub.
Stealthy.
Very, very minimalist. Yeah. Batteries, controller, throttle, motor. Don't worry about it.
Boom.
I think it's fun. Lots of fun. Got to play with our test equipment some. That's exciting. It's almost as good as getting a new computer or a new video game.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Or a new bike.
Or a new to me video game.
Yeah, new to me video game. Are you playing video games?
I'm going way back in the well. I downloaded Grand Theft Auto Vice City.
And
I'm very excited.
Is that a PS2?
Yes.
PS2. I have a box with a PS2 in it and that game for sure. I don't remember what else is in it. Sitting at the warehouse being neglected. Maybe it should come over here and it'll make for good winter sitting in front of the TV.
Yeah.
Gameplay.
All you have to do is,
it's not all multiplayer though,
steal,
right?
Yeah. All you have to do is steal a car and then you got the radio stations going.
Oh, cool.
So you don't even to like play.
Yeah.
You know, it's just good 80s. Yeah, good 80s.
James. Right on. Kind of Miami Vice-ish.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, I don't know. What's been going on? Because I don't know where my head's been at. It's been kind of a weird week. My brain has been frazzled or something weird. So I don't even know if I remember anything. Got yelled at by a guy on the voicemail. I wish I could have. I don't know what happened to it. I made it go away or something. He yelled at us for saying something about cops and stuff last week. I don't even unfortunately remember exactly what we said without listening to the show, but something to do with would I don't know, whatever. I guess we're not supposed to talk about that to 50% of the people. But I don't know which 50% it is.
Well, opinions are opinions and assholes.
So
everybody has one. sorry, I was in dad joke land there.
Right. Mr. Schlabowski will be calling in a few minutes. He did another trip up north.
Right on.
See what he has to say about his waterfall bicycle route.
I did have my first practical, effective use of a Surly junk strap over the weekend.
Nice.
Not really.
Not to hold your junk up?
No. I was putting an empty into the side of my bag, and I did a nice little finger fillet.
Oh,
nice, good deep cut and
junk strap tourniquet.
Yep. I had a notepad with some loose leaves in it. Wrap that up. Ring, ding, ding. And then made this annoying, weird construction on it. It was great in a own strange way. And then Zeke showed up. He's like, is that a junk strap tourniquet? I'm like, yes. And yes, it is.
Were you at Erastus B. Wolcott's statue?
Yes. holding my finger up in the air. Anyone walking by looked like I was just trying to keep the thing above.
Doesn't Erastus have his finger up in the air?
He could.
I don't know.
Oh my!
You're number one, kind of a deal.
Yeah.
So all of the new Surly tires in their fancy new, more eco-friendly packaging have a strap. It is not probably exactly a junk strap,
right.
But it is pretty cool that you get a strap with your tires.
Yeah.
Is that the one you used?
No.
You used the old junk strap.
Something that really gave a good tautness.
The Velcro on the current one seems pretty interesting.
Yeah, yeah. If I had it in my bag, I probably would have had that as well to anchor something else down.
They've got to have a strap engineer at QBP because the bag for the Moloco has a different kind of strap as well. It's more rubbery, sticky and rubbery.
Oh.
Yeah, you said the magic words of the game.
Tony's going to be using that Moloco bar and the adjunct bag for holding his batteries. Apparently, we can get 4 batteries. Oh, yeah, nice. Hey, send that. I'm sure people want to see that in the show notes. It's not so surgical, but
effective.
Effective.
Very effective.
Yeah, just text that, email that to me, and I'll put it in there.
I'll do something with it.
I'll put a photo of it in there.
Courtesy of Chris Ito, photo credit.
Oh, right on. I'll
say that.
Well, he was going to come by today, but for the rain, apparently, so they're kind of ramping up for the Milwaukee by Bike Touring Company to get its get rolling, hopefully. They're going to use some of those Army surplus shovel bags we all like so much.
Right on, right on.
As a kind of a handlebar bag to carry, I don't know what. Since they come so inexpensively, though, I say go for it.
Well, man. Whatever locking.
Yeah, so whatever you're taking, maybe throw some snacks in there and whatnot so people don't have to put them in their pockets and melt all over the place. But it for the money, it's a pretty nice little bag.
Hell yeah.
And if you ever wanted to actually carry a portable shovel, you could.
Exactly.
Which, just in case somebody wants one, I have one here.
It's the bag of spades, the bag of spades.
Yeah, man. Tony's all busy over there today.
And sorry.
Tony's multitasking.
He's here.
He's on the computer, he's on a conference call, and he's on the show all at the same time.
How about that, folks?
That's multi-talented right there. Yeah.
It's partially show-related. I'm downloading the Bafang software.
Oh, yeah. That's good. Yeah. Got to configure, or at least there's error codes. I want to see if it's through any codes that we can discern. Just a little hitch in its giddy-up, a little, I don't know, shudder in its shakedown, a little...
Shaggling the waggle.
Something like that. Something just weird. Just ain't, it just ain't quite right. That's all. Fat Tire Tour of Milwaukee got a route if you want to come to Milwaukee and do what would have been the Fat Tire Tour on your own terms. Nice route. Lots of parks.
It's a park route.
Some sort of stopping along the way if you so desire to drinking establishments that are slowly reopening. Some faster and less... less concerned about your health than others, possibly, but
yeah.
I say anybody that has an outside thing, you know, that's pretty good. You can you can distance outside, and the air moving around is a good thing for smacking down the COVID.
I popped in over on Brady at the Up and Under. And it's exactly the same as how I was navigating bars before that during this.
Did they have half the number of seats or?
I didn't really pay attention. I mean, there was like next to nobody in there, and then ordered drinkies, took them outside.
Yeah.
And, you know.
I tend not to hang around.
It's essentially what I'm doing anyways. I'm going to a bar and then leaving the premises. This way I'm just not getting shooed off the premises and ingesting it. There.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I think for the time being, they should make a rule around where you can just drink to your heart's content outside.
Yeah.
Anywhere.
Exactly.
Middle of the street, if you want.
I mean, it's Milwaukee, for God's sakes.
Well, the whole country.
Well, yeah, that too. But I mean, it just, you know, I mean, it was pretty much that anyways.
How about Shorewood? Do you think they'd go for it up there?
Well, I think they cracked their seal a little earlier than city of Milwaukee did. Because I went by a couple of places and I was like, are you supposed to be open? And I knew it was for, like, you know, pickup and curbside and whatever. But then all of a sudden I looked over and I saw, like, pool playing. I'm like, okay, I think you are opener than I believe you were going to be.
I don't know if anybody out of our city knows where Shorewood is, but they probably do now because of the spitting incident.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
Some lovely young lady, old lady, spat on one of the protesters, for Christ's sake.
Yes.
Well, and she also assaulted one the next day, too, when they were in front of her house.
And need a cop in the groin area. Mm-hmm. Can't have that.
Oh, yeah.
That'll get you arrested right there.
Oh, yeah. I saw her getting semi-dragged from house. I guess I had to kick her door in.
Oh, hey. I'm going to push this button here. Welcome to the radio program, caller. Who do we have on the line?
It's Dave Slavowski again.
Dave. Hi, Dave. Dave again. Awesome. How's it going, Dave again?
Good. I just got back from another adventure, so I thought I'd give you guys a quick little call.
Yeah, that would be awesome. I'd love to hear about what you've been doing. Our other erstwhile adventurer, Big Sexy, took a trip back home to Louisiana to try and help out a friend, so he's not on the road currently. So now you're up. You're not even on deck. You're up. You're up for your.
Oh, okay. Good. Yeah. wasn't sure if he was calling in or not. I have been following his progress somewhat, but so anyway, yeah. Over the weekend, my good friend and neighbor Tom Schuler, to your listeners who don't know, was one of the guys who started and raced on the 7-Eleven team. It was really him and Jim Okowitz that started it. So he's in the Wisconsin Bicycling Hall of Fame and was the U.S. champion and all that sort of race. He gave Bernardino, pushed him while Bernard peed in the Giro d'Italia. So he's got fairly serious credentials, but perhaps I have a little bit better palmar when it comes to bikepacking. So we're a good team on a road trip. So he and I went up to the Bayfield Peninsula to dial in a few more sections of my, you know, upcoming, soon to be announced giant waterfall bikepacking trip up there. And we got back last night, and so it was a good trip.
And you took, what bike did you take?
Well, yeah, and so Greg, you and I were talking about I took my Milwaukee Bicycle Company Ferrell 29er. It's a standard steel 29er, you know, mountain bike that built at Waterford Precision Cycles by Milwaukee Bicycle Company, I sort of had them strip the powder coating off it. It had been set up as a straight up, you know, sort of racing 29er, and I don't really do that anymore. So I had them strip the powder coating off it and add some additional brazons for bike packing. And I built a new rear rack for it and stuff like that. So I took that bike. When I switched the handlebar and stem and stuff, the brake lines and cables are not ideal for wrapping around bike packing bags. So I was going to have you guys put new brake lines on it for me, a little bit longer, so I could wrap it around the bag, the front handlebar bags better. But the brake lines, I think, they were out of stock and took a little longer to come in. I thought, rather than try to do that like 3 days right before I go out of town, it'd be better to wait and do that afterwards.
Probably a good call. The bike,
yeah. So the bike worked out well. I do want to still have you guys change those brake lines, but the bike worked out quite well, and the system was dialed in pretty well. Tom, I advise the Bayfield Peninsula, for those that don't know, is a large section of it was a former underground, like, pre-glacial lake. So it's all sand. It's hilly. It's still really hilly, but it's sand. So I advise Tom that, you know, although I've ridden a lot of those roads, they're not really roads, you know, but sandy forest roads is what they are. On my 42 millimeter gravel road bike, I felt like the mountain bike was the better choice. And you could even bring a fat bike if you wanted to.
That's interesting. I'd like to do the fat bike thing just because you can't fat bike on the beach anymore in a lot of spots. So,
right. Hey, that's a whole nother story. I've been suggesting to anybody that'll listen. I met with a couple of buddies. I met with Gary Crandall up there. I met with some friends from the Campbell board. When I was back in cable, I always run into somebody in cable, but, I keep suggesting that there are no fat bike races that I'm aware of held during, you know, summer or warm weather. Where fat bikes actually have a distinct advantage. There's a lot of winter fat bike races where fat bikes have a definite advantage over a plus bike or a mountain bike. But most, if not all that I'm aware of, warm weather, summer, spring, fall mountain bike races may have a fat bike category, but they're regular mountain bike races.
Sure.
Whereas, like, you could seriously put together a 50 or even 100-mile route for a race up in the Bayfield Peninsula. You could have a 100-mile race that wasn't even a loop, that wasn't like a multiple loop course, you know, 100 all different miles, and have it be a fat bike race where fat bikes would have, you'd be silly to bring anything other than a fat bike because the sand is so soft.
That sounds interesting. So this is way north. This is in the way up north part of the state. What about
back to our trip? Yeah, back to our trip. What we did is, once again, just because it's so darn handy and because I love the little town of Cable, we left my truck in the Cable Municipal parking lot where you can just leave your vehicle and they don't care. No fee, no anything, just do it anytime you want. You don't have to tell anybody. And it's safe there. And then they also have bathrooms with, you know, water and stuff like that there. So we left my truck in Cable, and then we took off from Cable, and then we headed kind of northeast towards the Valhalla Pub and Grill. And then we spent the night in Valhalla.
There's no other way to say that.
With Thor and the other other fellows.
Yeah, so we spent the night in Valhalla, and then we're probably the only people that have ever been able to like reach Valhalla and then like leave. Right? Although every Viking wants to reach Valhalla, right? It's kind of like, well, thanks, Thor, can I go back to my regular life now? I don't know.
least wait another 20 years.
We spent the night there, and so that was about 50 miles, and it was a mixed gravel and sandy ATV sort of route there. And then we headed west and north and rode up to Cornucopia, Herbster, went to Lost Creek Falls outside of Cornucopia, as well as Siskiwit Falls outside of Cornucopia, went to Twin Falls in Port Wing, so rode through Herbster down to Port Wing, and then pretty much straight south from Port Wing, Delta, through the Moqua Sand Barrens in the Bayfield Peninsula, and wherein it was, that day was like a 70-mile, 75-mile route, 90% sandy terrain, various degrees of soft to hard, with a straight up like 25, 30 mile an hour headwind and 92 degrees.
Wow.
So I kind of felt like Lawrence of Arabia.
Yeah, that's warm for up that way.
Yeah, it was unseasonably warm. And then remember, Schuller's on, you know, 38C truck checkpoint. I'm at least on 2.35s, you know, on my mountain bike. And, so he, you know, he had to walk a lot more sections than I did, and he was not able to make quite as good a time in the softer sections as I was. But he did manage it all. And when we finished in Delta, just in time to get a burger at the Delta Diner on their Monday night burger night, which is kind of a big thing for them. And we found out our campground was closed, that we were going to stay in.
Oh,
if just because of the COVID thing, or is it?
Yes. We were going to stay at Delta Campground, which is a county run campground. And it looked open on their website, but when I actually called from the Delta Diner to like try to get it check in while we were eating, they said they were only open to seasonal campers. To reduce the, you know, number of people that were coming through their bathrooms and stuff. So our options at that point were go across the street and do dispersed camping in, you know, the Schwamigan Forest, which is totally allowed and fine. But then after, you know, 75 miles of 92 degrees and a massive headwind and sand. I mean, I was coated in sweat and bug spray and sand from head to toe. I was desperate for a shower. So Tom and I looked at it, and we rather than camp, which we were totally set up to do, we figured we'd skip the sort of gravel route that I had intended to take back from Delta back to Cable. And we just hopped on the road and took pavement, kind of a straight line. It was 20 miles straight back to Cable. So we were in Cable by 8:30. A buddy of mine who's on the Campbell board has got an Airbnb. He let us stay there for free. We got showers, cleaned up. Oh, and I arrived at the Triple G gas station with 30 seconds to spare, in which I could buy a six-pack of beer.
Yeah, that's a bonus.
They were literally locking the door as I rolled up, and I gave my best puppy dog look at them, and they said, "All right, you got 2 minutes." And I said, "All I want is a six pack of beer," and they said, "Oh,
but they wouldn't give me one."
30 seconds.
I just wanted a Pepsi.
But so I just ran to the cooler, put my hands in, grabbed the first 2 6 packs that came out, and paid for them, and I ended up with a six pack of New Glarus, 2 women, and Earth Rider Pale Ale. So not too bad for no time to actually shop.
Nice setup for the top of the hill.
It's all timing.
Top is of it the that hill. Time?
Yeah, yeah. JK's of courtesy of JK today. Top of the hill. Do the setup on it there, JK.
Oh, it'd be the Potosi Snake Hollow IPA.
Ah.
It's clocking in at that 6.5 alcohousy and 65 international bitter girlfriend units. And
there's a Ziegel angle to this beer, isn't there?
Yeah. I ran into Patrick Ziegel over the weekend, and he was mentioning some of the trails over by Potosi. And I had just driven right next to it. A couple weeks ago. And then it was just front of mind when I was at the store today. I'm just like, oh, hello, Potosi. You're every, oh, yeah, okay. And we are going to use you today.
This beer received a gold medal at the 2016 World Beer Championships.
That's what they say, yes.
It is good.
Mm-hmm.
It is good. It's, I don't know. Why is
Have any of you guys been to the Potosi Brewery and their beer museum?
I have. It's beautiful. And the food's good, too.
I was about to, but we were on destination.
It's pretty great, right?
Yeah, it is definitely worth the trip.
Yeah, it is. I agree. Yeah. So, well, I'm actually not drinking a beer right now. I have a rhubarb margarita in hand. I'm with you. Again, you in spirit.
Again with the rhubarb.
Yeah, that was actually what I was going to go for.
You know,
there was a Mobcraft rhubarb IPA that I was looking at that was there the last time.
Giant
and they didn't
pile
have
in
it.
My backyard that won't leave me alone.
Oh.
So how do you...
If you want to unload any of that.
So how do you use it? Because parts of it aren't usable, correct?
So there's this mistaken belief that rhubarb is poisonous. The leaves are, but not the stems. The stems do have some of the toxin in them, but you can still eat the stems raw if you want. However, you could get sick if you ate, like, you know, 2 pounds of it, you know, but the leaves are toxic. So what I do is I just take like 2 pounds of rhubarb and I chop it up into little, you know, 1-inch chunks, and I boil it with, you know,
sugar,
8 cups of water, and turn it. I used to turn it into simple syrup and add a bunch of sugar, but I've learned over time that when you cook it, it's not quite as sour and it really doesn't need that sugar. So it acts a little bit more like a lime juice if you're making a margarita or something like that. Right. So I just take a ton of rhubarb and put it in a pot and then cover it all up with water and boil it for 20 minutes and then strain it. And, you got rhubarb juice.
Right.
Some people drink the rhubarb juice straight. I prefer to mix it with tequila.
Yeah. Right. I have copious amounts of rhubarb in the backyard. JK wants to come by and grab stocks. Yeah.
Yes. Give, please.
I want
to lighten the load for all of you. Delicious
it's
load.
It's so easy to make the juice, and you can use it for lots of stuff. So I encourage anyone to try it.
Oh, for sure.
Right on. So when do you think your unveiling of the waterfall ride will be forthcoming?
You know, I don't know. I really do want to make sure I've got it 100% dialed in. And I've got it, you know, boy, it's like 98% right now. I could release it right now. And if anybody's, did I share it with you, the whole route on the last?
Yeah, I don't remember if it was actually just a picture of it or if it was the actual route. I remember we had a link to it in a couple of weeks back.
Yeah. Anybody that wants me to share it, I'm happy to share it. But I haven't gone, you know, Ride with GPS generates its own verbal cues and visual cues and stuff. And oftentimes they're wrong. And I'd like to clean a bunch of that stuff up. And, like I said, I still wanted to tweak just this last little Bayfield Peninsula section. I believe I've got that done, but I'm thinking of, I've got friends that have, you know, work at bike shops that are, I don't know if you've heard this, Greg, but they're really busy during the summer.
Yes.
And don't really have time to go for a ride with me, but they want to go on this route with me. So they're talking like end of August. So maybe end of August, I'll do sort of like the official big reveal after me and my buddies get to do the full, you know, 360-70 mile enchilada.
Right on. Well, you know how big our shop is. There's a Jake Newborn's bullet is sitting in the middle of it right now, so you can imagine how packed our shop is right now. I think there's actually more electric bikes in here than actual. Maybe not quite, but
Are you adding e-assist to Jake's Bluebird?
No, this is his bullet that had the Bafang mid-drive B-Rad system or E-Rad or whatever it's called.
Oh, it's the white one.
Right.
The bike that's white one.
Yeah, it's got a little stuttering and some hiccups and stuff that he wanted to kind of see if we could figure out.
Yeah, but I know Jake and Nicole and July, their kid July, they have a blue bullet.
This is the bike feds.
It's the bike feds that they use for mobile bike repair.
Which I guess is starting up now on the 15th, apparently. So it's coming up that bike repair will be back out in the world again somehow, under some form or another.
Right, yeah. A little bit more social distancing, don't get too close, stuff like that. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, you know, that was one of the interesting things about being up north, where, once again, there are very few cases. And let's all cross our fingers it stays that way. But, you know, so half the people that I'd run into up there are scared as shit that somebody's going to bring more and it's going to be bad. Right. So they're taking every precaution. And the other half of the people I run into are like, and if something bad was going to happen, it would have happened already. And So we got to make a freaking living. It's hard enough on a regular year. Come on up and spend your money, Milwaukee, Chicago,
right.
Minneapolis.
Yeah, you know? I can't imagine being like a resort owner or a bar or, you know, anything that is only really there for, you know, seasonally in the summer for a few months. And then if they got a winter, which they sometimes don't get, you know, they could have the snowmobile
right.
And the other things to bring in income, but got to be a tough haul. So yeah. I
mean, both points are valid. You know, I mean, I still obviously like wore my mask everywhere I went and stuff like that. And you know, I mean, my hope is that, you know, the only thing some guy from Milwaukee leaves behind is some money.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. My mask wearing is it's more out of respect to other people than for myself, really. It's just like, I feel like if I wear a mask, I'm respecting other people's space. And if I stay away from them, I'm respecting their space more. And
right.
That's all good.
Right. I'm honestly not very concerned about catching, you know, COVID-19 in northern Wisconsin, but the last thing I'd want to do is like have traveled up there and then somehow they actually do contact tracing and figure out, hey, it all leads back to this Polish guy who showed up with a bike full of gear.
Well, I know you're safe, so hopefully that won't happen. All right, Dave.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Well, thanks for calling in, and
thanks,
I look forward to the route being completed, and we will talk to you soon.
Okay. All right. Adios.
Bye.
Later.
Bye.
Never let another man rub your rhubarb.
Rub your rhubarb. Some of the leaves on my rhubarb are bigger than like the size of a big garbage can lid. They're huge.
Oh, shit, yeah.
You could use them as like an umbrella in the monsoon today.
Yeah. In the house I grew up in, we had a huge patch.
So one of the
Now I can't find anywhere until now.
One of the things I do in the rhubarb patch in the fall is after Halloween, that's where all the pumpkins go to die and decompose.
Yeah. Yes.
I don't know if it helps the rhubarb out at all, sure, but that
doesn't seem to be hurting them.
It's a pumpkin graveyard back there. Yeah, some of those stalks are, they're big. You know, I'm not sure what, I'm not a rhubarb aficionado, but.
Me neither.
Oh. JK can have a whack at this stuff.
Yes, 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 yes.
And you might need a hatchet to get some of them out of there. Come by. I'll hack him.
Where's Mike?
He's with his cool
machetes.
He's lying underneath one of the rhubarb leaves, taking a siesta in a hammock because they're so big.
No, doing the urban jungle cross course building.
Oh, like right on. Mike, oh, yeah.
He would always bring out those ridiculously awesome machetes.
Yeah, yeah.
He's like, oh, I got this one in Thailand. And it was awesome.
We did do some.
It looked like a damn cleaver, but it worked so much better.
So we did some recon for an urban jungle cross course whenever that's possible again. And a good chunk of the last one that we had under the freeway near downtown Milwaukee is now being built upon. Something's happening down there. And some of the cool spots we found for the next one are now surveyed off, and they're doing some kind of, I don't know if it's for their stormwater remediation or what they're doing down there, but.
Huh. Yeah, I know that there was, like, they had kind of a proposal.
Oh, now there's actually work happening.
You know, like a little, like, I don't know. I saw like a skate park and some, I mean, not a skate park, but like a little skate zone type. Kind of like Estabrook has that one little setback, little cool little area. I don't know.
Tony's the noisy guy today.
Tony.
It's all right. I got you turned off, man.
This is the coolest headset. It looks ridiculous.
Is it a Jabra? Jabra?
It's high def audio, and it actually sounds fantastic. And here's the cool part. It has 5 hours of talk time. But when you drop it, this is a cradle.
You're talking to the air, man. Nobody can hear you.
Are these earrings?
No, those are your rotors from your wheels.
Oh, that's what I thought.
Yeah, you're supposed to take them with you. Yes. I didn't return them when I dropped off the other wheels.
Fair enough.
So JK decided to graciously donate his fat bike wheels to... his Lady Kim's bike over the summer and saved 4.5 pounds of weight off of the bike, I think.
Nine.
What?
It was 4.5 on each side.
Oh, my gosh.
So it was like close to 10 pounds.
They're much lighter than what was on there.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. There was something about that rim system.
Yeah, this is, well, it's an old state fat bike from the olden times.
Yeah.
Back way 6-7 years ago now.
Yes.
But it never got love in the wheel section, and it really kind of needed it.
Oh, yes, for sure. And then just, you know, I was just like, you know, this could work. It could. I don't know. Yes.
Oh, Tony's back.
Say that again.
So you're just going to ride yours as a 29er plus then?
Well, for now, yeah.
Right.
This is kind of like a summer experience.
Yeah, this is not a permanent. You can
get yourself an upgrade of wheels.
Or no, her.
Yeah, JK's got good wheels. Oh, those are some good wheels there. You don't want to upgrade those.
This is just helping.
There's no upgrade path for him, really.
Never mind.
Well, there is.
Oh, of course.
Except it's called carbon.
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
Well, then nope. The next
carbon
step,
fibers.
Next step is going to be electric assist.
Yeah.
You're going to have me drink this Kool-Aid somehow, some way.
I don't know. Here's the thing. Do you want to spend your $1,000 on carbon rims, or do you want to spend it on an electric assist system? Because I would submit that the electric system will give you more speed for your dollar than the carbon rims will.
It's got an entertainment factor that's kind of hard
understood,
to beat.
Understood. I just know how
you
I
giggle
ride.
When you're on a fat bike. You giggle when you're on an electric bike, and then you double giggle when you're on an electric fat bike.
Yep.
I don't know. It's going to be a hard sell to some of you purists out there.
One of these years.
Just wait till you're an old man and see what you think. You dang old youngin' you. Well, by cracky, we did it again somehow, and hopefully nobody yells at us this week on the call in line 717-727-2453 if you really feel like you got to yell at us for something.
Spells bike.
I'm not really worried about it, but thanks for calling, caller.
Express your opinions.
Yeah, do that. Yeah, do that. Fucking
yeah, come on.
All over the place.
All right, bye now.
Adios.